I'm like the closing witness. I'm bringing all this context to what the raids were all about, and the district attorney has no questions for me.
Was he too busy counting his money? Was he like, no questions?
Yeah. See what I mean? And the victim's advocate didn't ask me any questions, and I don't know why, but I can speculate it had something to do with the fact that there weren't any victims.
Of the 54 kids that were supposedly trafficked, not a single one of them were saved from sex trafficking.
They weren't in it in the beginning. They weren't in it.
Stay tuned for the Timmy did what? Timmy trafficked them, basically, so he could film it for his TV show?
No.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Timmy Did What podcast. My name is Kara Burrell.
My name is Ryan Fisher.
Ryan and I are coming at you today on the heels of some really big news. Ryan just flew back from Colombia to testify on behalf of Kelly Suarez for her criminal trial. And Ryan is here to tell us what that was like. And he's already kind of given me the download. And I've been screaming and incensed and can't wait for you guys to hear all of these wild things that happened to Ryan while he was on this trip. Tim has responded to you and what you put as your like amendments in your lawsuit, what you kind of accused him of, and he has a video with Troy, a last dispensation that he's put out that I listened to at the airport on double speed just so I could rush through it. So half of it is about what happened at the trial and the other half is him character assassinating you, everything that you say. He's like, it's opposite. It's actually Ryan's bad, 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 bad. He just flips everything and says Ryan's the worst and stuff. So it's not really worth watching or even talking about. It's pretty much what you'd expect it to be. Yeah. But one thing that he does say in that is, maybe he probably said that this at the trial too, that every single kid in that Cartagena raid, 54 kids were saved, quote unquote, every single one of them were trafficked and needed to be saved. And that is a major part of his, you know, foundational myth of Sound of Freedom, of OUR, and you're coming directly opposing that. And
that was just the vehicle for accomplishing all these bigger goals, these loftier goals that his the church and he had for himself, including political ambitions.
Yeah. And so butting heads with that, and we'll get into more about the Cartagena raid in another episode of exactly what happened with Kelly on this island, how everything kind of went down. Yeah. And so Tim's allegations about, you know, who Ryan is.
He can character assassinate me all day. I don't care. Anytime he opens his mouth, he really reveals a lot about him that's not good for him and his story. And I mean, who am I? My primary income and what I identify as my occupation is a high school volleyball coach. So I've been doing that 11 seasons in a row. Anybody that knows me, I got 11 seasons of
bump set spike.
People that would defend my character. I'm not worried about my reputation and character being smeared by somebody in an angry rant on Twitter.
You were just on Mormon Stories with me and John Dillon and your daughter, and Ryan was kidnapped in Poland on his mission. He tells that whole story. And he was tortured and kidnapped in prison and didn't even tell anybody and didn't go home. That's some peak character. I can't even imagine. So anyway, I also stand by Ryan's character being amazing. But yeah, people who know me, who know you, it's just laughable. But since the trial did end, Tim Ballard has been on Twitter and on Instagram calling out Ryan by name and a little somebody.
And that's a badge of honor, as far as I'm concerned. It makes me feel good about myself that I'm doing something good in my in the world.
A lifetime for a moment like this. Some people wait forever.
What were we talking about?
This is me taking a music break to sing Kelly Clarkson's A Moment Like This when Tim Ballard, Timmy did what? He finally is trying to character assassinate your old friends over here.
Yeah.
It's been a very depressing, very serious week. I have to call my husband at home / ex-husband and go, lock all the doors. I'm on the other side of the country as well. I'm like, he knows my name. Go time, go. Cameras are on. Security systems in lock. So yeah, it's been an intense week. Yeah. That's the height of my frailty and frightened from him. But other than that, it's like, he's calling out your old girl over here. So Ryan, where do you want to take us?
Well, we're going to get into a lot of the trial and some of the evidence and what you need to know about that. But first, I thought I'd give you a post-trip report because I promised everybody that I would vlog the trip, and it didn't work out that way. And I need to explain why. So going down there, I knew I was taking a big risk.
For sure.
I felt like I was putting myself in a very vulnerable position because by testifying, I'd be on the schedule at Kelly's trial at a specific date and time at a courthouse in Cartagena, and that would give Tim an opportunity to know a specific place and time where I would be at, walking down an alley to a courthouse, and I did not like that vulnerability. That stressed me out.
Just for viewers who are not quite like familiar with your background with Tim, you guys can go back and kind of listen to the other episodes of like Ryan and Tim working together and feeling like you absolutely got stabbed in the back and Tim's like way that he will throw anyone under the bus and smear them if they ever betray them. So you do not have a good relationship with Tim whatsoever.
No.
And up to this point, Tim knows that you are not only testifying against him as basically a character witness.
Yeah,
on behalf
well, a character
of what his
witness and a background witness of what the raid was actually about. Yeah.
But not that you were at the Colombian raid that's famous in like the Sound of Freedom movie that's kind of portrayed in that, and then in this documentary that's never been released, Operation Triple Take, and various different myth-making that started off Tim Ballard's career about a decade ago, this raid that happened in Colombia that was supposed to be filmed in 2014. So you were there to testify on behalf of exactly what were you there to say and do?
Well, you're right that I watched over many years Tim completely go into character assassination mode. And I need to tell you exactly what that looks like for Tim Ballard. There is somebody whose wife became a whistleblower for Tim. He had clients in finance, and Tim got his minions or people close to him to go on full-on character assassination to this man. I want to tell his full story at some point, but we'll leave that alone for now. That character assassination included calling people and telling them that this man was involved in an assassination plot in a foreign country, that he had his wife tied up in the basement and was abusing her. I mean, we're talking about full-on, very serious
psychopathic
character assassination. And that was because somebody betrayed him. Somebody close to him betrayed him and outed some of his crimes.
And this is not just you hearing this. This is also firsthand things of people we've talked to that we're trying to get on the podcast. And so there's a very clear pattern of Tim feeling betrayed and then revenge, character assassination. And so you're at the center of this. You're here as a character witness. Not that you were at this raid that Kelly Suarez is on trial for now, but that you are testifying on behalf of what kind of person he is.
Yeah, what
and
kind
he's
of person?
Got his lasers and a sight set on
Yeah, and to make this situation even more just perilous, Tim's spiritual advisor, we know about Elder Ballard, but what is was kept hidden from most people is a spiritual advisor named Tom Harrison, who was involved from the very beginning of OUR through running it all, was on the OUR payroll, and was working all the way up until the present day. We have documentation on that. As an advisor for Tim anytime he needs anything from the spirit world. And this guy is also the same spiritual advisor and spiritual guru and mentor to Chad and Lori Daybell. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, who, what did they do?
Murdered Lori's two kids, JJ and Tylee, and then several other adult family members. So somebody who, like Chad Daybell, who was working closely, that we know Chad and Tom Harrison were visiting probably on a weekly basis is what is being reported. That same spiritual advisor who works in the networks of the church, works in the networks of OUR, who's still to this day, to our knowledge, Tim Ballard's spiritual advisor.
Yep. Still receiving revelation for Tim on behalf of God and all sorts of other dead people on the other side. So this is just like an absolutely crazy situation. This is what I was in my head going into this trial. And I was honestly freaked out. I was freaked out about this. I was trying to take every precaution from the very beginning. But there was no getting around the vulnerability of walking into that courthouse to testify in an act of total betrayal to Tim. But I did it because I believed that there's a great injustice being served to multiple women, not just Kelly Suarez, but all of the other women that have accused him of crimes. And so I don't know that I could have, it would have bothered me for a long time had I not gone. And then she'd be found guilty and know that maybe I could have made a difference. So anyways, long story short, I decided to go. I was stressed out the whole time. The first day we went and did some preparation at one of the lawyer's offices for the trial. I got to practice with an interpreter that got to know me. I got to know him. We had to, the whole trial is going to be in Spanish, obviously. And so we had to practice communication. I had to figure out what kind of vocabulary he was comfortable with. He needed to know what kind of vocabulary he needed to know to express my testimony. So we kind of went through my entire testimony and what I was going to say from start to finish and practice. And he would look up words. He would make sure that he would get prepped on what I was going to say. And so that took most of the afternoon, evening of the day before the trial. So we did all that. I got to meet Kelly briefly at that time. She was there. She works at that law office. And then the next morning, we went to the trial.
Now, one thing that you are skipping over that I think the audience watching on YouTube, maybe not the podcast audience, will notice, your change of appearance.
Yeah. I had to take some drastic measures, especially after the trial, because of what I found out and who was there. So I thought about this for weeks and tried to get myself into Tim's head and what were the most easy ways to intimidate me, take me out, hurt me some way. And I came up with, there's probably one of two plans that were probably the easiest to pull off. One is to make sure that I was in a car accident on my way to the courthouse or on the way home or from the airport, going to and from my hotel. Make sure that happened. Or see if there was a mugging that would happen that would go very badly. And so I was trying to take precautions with my appearance and change it as much as I could. Each time I had to go out in public, I'd try to change my appearance, hats, clothes, everything. And so I promised my wife that I'd take every precaution I could, and even switching taxis and things like that. And denying taxis. Anybody that was a taxi driver that came up to us saying, "Hey, I can give you a ride." It's like, no, we don't go with anybody that approaches us. We go pick the taxi. I mean, I was trying to pull out all the stops for safe travel in third world countries. Because in Colombia, you can pay off anybody. On the way there, my dad called me on my way to the airport and basically begged me not to go. He had worked in Colombia for Microsoft, and he's fully aware of the corruption down there. And he told me, like, I don't care whatever the prosecutors or lawyers are telling you, like, whatever promises they have of your safety and guarantee, your safety is not guaranteed, and anybody can be bought off there. Friday morning, we go to the courthouse. I walk there with Kelly and her lawyer and her mom. And at the courthouse, we go into the courthouse, and we're beginning to start the trial. I'm the only witness that day. I'm the final witness in the entire trial, the closing witness. And they immediately make some changes on me. First off, they kick out my lawyers, my representation, and they just said, "You guys have to leave. You're not allowed in this courtroom." And they had been there before. They had been in the courtroom before. They had listened to this. And so that was not cool. I was not happy with that. It ended up being to their advantage, the advantage of the prosecution. I'll tell you why in a minute. And then also my interpreter that I'd worked with and everything, they denied me that interpreter. And they said, we're appointing our own court interpreter. And this guy came in, sat down, and his English was terrible. He did not have a grasp of the language.
And so the one that you had worked with previously, with the dictionary, that was not your interpreter after all?
Nope. They would not let me use my own interpreter. And they brought in a court interpreter that was assigned to me that I hadn't worked with. And the prosecution also brought in a second interpreter to check that interpreter. And so the prosecution and the court had their interpreters in place, and I was not allowed to use my own interpreter. And that became a very big problem, because as I tried to express my testimony in the most simple, straightforward, honest way I could, it was a struggle. And as we're going along, some very, very important things were misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know they were misinterpreted, but for whatever reason, they allowed my interpreter to sit in the courtroom. I don't know why they didn't kick him out, but they kicked the lawyers out, but this interpreter isn't involved in the case, but they allowed him to stay for whatever reason.
And can I just add in the other side of that is everything being in the prosecution's favor, but things possibly being bribed or paid off, or things just like
shady stuff.
Conspicuously being in the prosecution's favor. And one thing that you were witness to, and that it's also, it says in the press release from Kelly's attorneys that I'm going to read in a different episode, correct me if I'm wrong, that OUR and Tim Ballard's attorneys were allowed to translate at the trial. They're allowed to translate. Imagine mm-hmm. if your attorneys, so it would have been what, like Suzette and Alan Morton, like,
They were accompanying
Those are the ones that are accompanying you, Suzette mm-hmm. and Alan. Imagine if they were allowed to interpret for you at the trial. That would be, but not only they're not allowed to interpret, they're not even there at the trial. They're kicked out of the room. Mm-hmm. But Tim and OUR's attorneys are not only allowed to translate. Tim Ballard, it says, was off camera in the prosecutor's office. Yeah. Next to him, possibly whispering and talking to him, helping translate as well.
So that was a weird. Like, the prosecutor was not in the courtroom. They remoted in through video. And Kelly's attorney was in the courtroom. I was in the courtroom. Judge was in the courtroom. Interpreter. The prosecutor was on camera. And I thought that was weird. But all these trials are streamed. So I didn't think anything of it until the prosecutor had their interpreter, asked the judge if they could use their interpreter, and the judge was like, sure, you can use a second interpreter to check the first interpreter and be involved in this trial. So they let him in, but they wouldn't let my interpreter in. Anyways, this became a problem, because then when we had one recess, and I went out in the hall and I saw that interpreter, and he went into the room next to us, and then he showed up on camera on the screen up there. I was like, damn, that guy's in the next room over. The prosecutor's in the next room over. Why wouldn't he be in the courtroom? And the reason is because she was speaking to somebody off camera in English. I wonder who that could be.
That's not something you want to do in the courtroom in front of everybody, but you can stream it into the courtroom on the cameras in the room next to you and make sure that the person who, I don't know, I could say hypothetically bribed you or hypothetically has a real vested interest in this person being prosecuted and going down and being convicted of the thing that you want them to be convicted of, that person, Tim Ballard, could be sitting right off camera next to you. Not something you want to be in the courtroom for, but definitely streamed in the next room. So, did you see Tim Ballard whatsoever?
No, I didn't see him. In person? I didn't see him, but who else that speaks English and is cozying up to the prosecutor in this case? Like, I mean,
if it's not Tim Ballard, just by the evidence that we do know that his lawyers, Tim Ballard's attorneys and OUR's attorneys, we have evidence that they are cozying up to the prosecutor. So whether Tim Ballard himself or whoever represents him, what's the difference, honestly?
That's shady. I had been prepped by the lawyers to mentally be prepared for Tim to show up in the courtroom to intimidate me. I had mentally prepared for that. I was ready for it. That was going to be fine. But I wasn't prepared for Tim to be assisting in the prosecution, if that's what happened. And that appears to what happened, because he got on social media at that time, mm-hmm. bragged about that he's in Colombia helping the Colombian government with no details. Like, what you doing, Tim? What you doing? You know, seriously. Anyway, so we're going through the trial, and Kelly's defense attorney is questioning me and reading my affidavit, and we're talking a lot about the documentary film concept called The Abolitionists that I created for National Geographic Channel back in 2012, which ended up being hijacked by Tim to be made by a fictional filmmakers that their expertise is more in narrative fictional films. We can get into that another time. But my testimony was to lay out that this whole raid was set up as a film shoot. It was set up to film for the purposes of film to make Tim look like an American hero. And I stand by that. That's what it was. I thought when I created the concept that also kids were going to be saved and traffickers are going to be put in jail. Turns out that wasn't the case. We're going to get into that, how that went down later. But what I wasn't prepared for was that the defense attorney for Kelly, he was really angry at Tim, and he channeled that at me. And he kind of represented the anger that the Colombian people have that this white gringo would come down there and entrap one of their 19-year-old girls and attempt to character assassinate her and put her away in prison.
Mm-hmm. Again, you're talking about the defense attorney.
The defense attorney is so, and people in Colombia are so angry that Tim would pull this on them. And there's a lot of people down there that are convinced that it was entrapment and that Kelly is innocent, and the press had been covering it. And so he channeled, rightfully, I can't blame him, the anger of the nation against Tim and directed it right at me. So he was very animated and very passionate and would group Tim. It's like, you guys did this. You were attempting to do that. And like, he's angry and he's very passionate and bold. And I don't fault him. I think he's doing a great job as a lawyer, and that's what he needed to do. A little bit of grandstanding, but it was not fun. My entire testimony was, I was in the stand for 4 hours. The entire purpose behind Tim Ballard and what brought him there, they were very interested in why the Mormon Church was involved in this, why Elder Ballard supported and launched this thing, and the Mormon propaganda that OUR was all about. And I told the whole story exactly how Catherine reiterated it in an interview recently, that Tim was to be an American hero through trying to save kids on TV so he could talk about
American covenant, Mormonism, restoring this covenant land, bring more people into the gospel.
The sizzle reel of these shoots was all to become an American hero and become a missionary tool for the Mormon Church. That was what it is about. That's my testimony, and there's lots of other people that know that as well. Anyways, that enraged a lot of people in Colombia, and I understand why, because it's deceptive, and that's wrong. That's wrong. Anyways, so I got grilled by Ariel pretty hard, and that was a very uncomfortable experience. At one point, I was asked a question in which I wasn't sure how to answer it, and I asked the court if I could confer with my lawyers, and everybody in the court unanimously yelled out, "No!" Like, they wanted an answer right now. That's how it went. And so I felt very alone, except for Kelly was the only one sitting behind me besides my interpreter that was silent. He was just shaking his head the whole time, trying to speak out so that the court-appointed interpreter wouldn't give the wrong message in Spanish. And he was doing that left and right. He was misinterpreting what I was saying. And it got so bad that we called a recess at some point, and my interpreter that was listening, he came up to me. He tried to interject, but the judge shut him down. He's like, "You're not part of this. Sit down. You can't speak up." We had a recess, and in the hall, he told me, he's like, "Listen, everybody in that courtroom is under the impression that you are an accomplice with Tim, that you are one of the ones that put Kelly away in prison, that you're attacking her, that you're attacking the Colombian people, that you're part of this deceptive ruse to self-aggrandize yourself. You need to make it clear that you quit OUR, that you weren't there because everybody's getting angry with you." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like." He's like, "All right, so you've said that before, but you need to keep saying and keep reiterating that you did not go on the operation and you quit OUR before they did any of these operations." And so I'm like, "All right, thank you. Thank you for guiding me in that." And so then I got back on message and I was able to make that clarification. I honestly felt like at one point I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of here without my hands cuffed behind my back. Like I really thought that like there's people that are going to be so enraged because they're so angry at what Tim did. Mm-hmm. And then I'm there and lynch Ryan, you know? So, that was not fun. Then we got to, that was about 3 hours. And then we got to the prosecution and there's three people that could, cross-examine me, the prosecutor, obviously, the district attorney, and then a victim's advocate who was in the courtroom also. The prosecutor started by stating, I'm going to ask you a series of yes-no questions, and that's all. And I'm like, okay, I can handle that. That sounds pretty simple. It was a total trap. The yes, no questions were very simple, straightforward first. And then she got to a question that says, was the purpose of the operation in Cartagena to save kids? And I thought about that and she said, yes or no. And I asked for a clarifying. I'm like, well, what do you mean the purpose? Was it the main purpose? She's like, it's a simple question. Yes or no. I'm like, it's not a simple question. This is a complicated situation. Was it the main purpose or the only purpose or one of many purposes? And she's like, nope, no clarification. You have to answer yes or no. Was the purpose of the operation to save kids? And I could not. I'm like, I can't answer that. Yes or no. And I tried to get clarification and she got angry with me. The interpreter was getting angry with me. He just kept yelling. It's a simple question. Yes or no. Was the purpose of the operation to save kids? Was it to save kids? And they wouldn't let me talk to my lawyers. They demanded an answer right now. They demanded that I answer yes or no. And I realized that this was a total trap because if I answered, because the part of the purpose of the operation is to save kids, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose, if you want to go all the way up the food chain, was to be a missionary tool and reflect mm-hmm. well in the Mormon church so that they could be assimilated into evangelical America. To do that, Tim needed to be an American hero and a celebrity. To do that, he needed to be on TV doing something awesome right. that make American hero status. To do that, he needed to run operations that were attempting to save kids. And so where in that line? So saving kids is a purpose of that operation, but not the main purpose. That was not the goal.
They can accomplish making their TV series just like any reality show. Think of any reality show, basically, mm-hmm. where it's like, is the main purpose of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise to pair off attractive singles? That's like a purpose, but the main purpose is to make a reality show where they can edit whatever they want together because it's a good story mm-hmm. and it's a compelling thing that people will watch. And along the way, you know, people will sign up to be on TV because they'll get paid and they'll get something mm-hmm. out of it. And if like X, Y, and Z happens as the project progresses and that's like the pitch, sure, that's great. That's what we're selling you. Mm-hmm. But when you put like sex trafficked kids in this, from what the evidence shows, like with the Cartagena raid, like everything that Tim has claimed about the ages of these kids, how many were there, how many sex traffickers were, you know, put away, everything can be just exaggerated. So it's fiction. it's kind of like a reality show yeah. where it doesn't really matter what the people who are on camera actually did and said. Mm-hmm. It matters what the producers and the editors can actually come up with once it's pumped out into audiences.
What they can get to make a sizzle reel. Catherine says in her interview, it's all about the sizzle reel. Mm-hmm. Not even yeah. like the actual documentary. It's just we need a sizzle reel that shows Tim in action, kids that we're telling you are horribly trafficked and abused. Sizzle reel that so we can make money and mm-hmm. advance the yeah. goals, you know?
So I can see why it's a very difficult yes-no question because yeah. it's like it's part of it, sure, but so how did you end up
yeah, so
that?
I sat there. I tried to answer a few different times with a non-binary answer, and that was not acceptable. So I sat there and thought this through, and I'm like, can I honestly state that the purpose of the operation, the main purpose, I'm going to go with the interpretation of the main purpose, the primary purpose of the operation, was that something other than saving kids? Yes.
Because mm-hmm. that food chain, there's like four other things before saving kids.
There's a lot of things above that that right. are more important than saving kids. And that can also be accomplished even if kids aren't saved,
100%.
Which turns out happened in the Cartagena raid. Kids weren't saved. Okay, we'll get to that and we'll show you why. Okay, just hold on. And I was aware of all those facts at that time. So I sat down there. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to answer. And I knew the prosecution was wanting me to say, yes, the purpose of the raid was to save kids. And that would contradict all my testimony before that, that the purpose of these raids was for the missionary work of the Mormon Church and Tim's fame and money and notoriety. And, oh, yeah, and we do that by saving kids. So she was trying to contradict my entire testimony, catch me in perjury, and catch me in something that could be viewed as a contradiction. And so I sat there and I really had this moment of clarity where I felt a ton of pressure. Everybody's demanding an answer, but and I don't know the sources of this. Maybe it's God, maybe it's universal consciousness, maybe it's all the prayers and good vibes everybody's sending me. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm super thankful because I was able to tune out that pressure, everything that everybody's yelling at me, and go back to what I actually know. And what I know is the truth, and that is not the real purpose of all of this or what anything that Tim does. And so I said, I'm ready to answer the question. He asked it again, and I said, no. And I stand by that.
Yeah, okay? I think that's the right answer.
So that was a problem because they expected me to say yes, and then it was going to be character assassinate, testimony assassinate,
perjury,
everything, yeah. Ryan and stuff. But I answered that in that way. And I could have probably answered it in another way by just not giving them a non-binary answer by saying yes or no and just say that wasn't the main purpose, but one of the purposes. Anyways, that's what I went with. I stand by it. But I think that really threw off all of their – it backfired because they weren't expecting me to do that. After that, there wasn't a lot of questioning. And so I know Tim sitting next to the prosecutor was probably flipping out. So angry because in social media right after that he started accusing me of perjury, of lying on the stand, and that's what he's probably going to refer to, is that I lied about that, but I didn't.
The primary mm-hmm. purpose was not to save kids in the Cartagena raid, mm-hmm. and that flew in the face of so much they were thrown off their rocker, mm-hmm. and then what happened next
is I thought I was going to go through another 3 hours with the prosecution and everyone else, and that didn't happen. In fact, the prosecutor asked a few more questions, trying to trip me up in a few different ways, and then turned it over to the district attorney. And the district attorney, which shocked Kelly's lawyer, he was trying to figure out why this was, asked no questions. Zero. I'm like the closing witness. I'm bringing all this context to what the raids were all about, mm-hmm. and the district attorney has no questions for me.
Was he too busy counting his money? Was he like, no questions?
Yeah. See, I mean, and the victim's advocate didn't ask me any questions, and I don't know why, but I can speculate it had something to do with the fact that there weren't any victims. What? Could that be mm-hmm. possible? Yes, it can be possible that there were no victims. Nobody had ever that went to the Cartagena raid had ever been trafficked, was not involved in any sort of sexual exploitation prior to that, during that, or after that, as far as we know. So, and we're going to do that in part two that's coming up after this video. Hopefully, we'll just
release it. It's a big statement, what you just said.
I know, and that's like, a big, bold claim, but we can back it up.
With every different thing of what Tim has said about this raid versus what the evidence shows.
Yeah.
That literally in the trial and before the trial mm-hmm. of what the evidence shows. So I know that's a hefty claim that of the 54 kids that were supposedly trafficked, not a single one of them were saved from sex trafficking.
They weren't in it in the beginning. They weren't in it. Okay, so the trial concludes. Kelly went on the witness stand, I think, for a minute after that also. And I left with Kelly now and the interpreter. So it's me, Kelly, and the interpreter that didn't get to talk. But he actually, during the prosecution, it was going so poorly, and I was being misinterpreted and misrepresented my words, that this interpreter, like, interjected himself. Kelly's lawyer requested that he come up and clarify some things And the judge finally allowed him to get up there because he's, in fact, the court recorder or something was better at English than the actual court interpreter. And he was trying to help find words. And it was going wow. So, it was so slow and frustrating because they would ask a question, they'd ask it to me, I'd give a response, and then everybody would erupt in a debate on what the right word is to interpret this. And then somebody would say, I think what he's trying to say is whatever. And then like, no, it's this and that. And so like had like this argument over what I'm trying to say because there's a really bad interpreter. Mine was good, but the court recorder finally got involved. He had good English. So he started advising the judge. It was kind of a mess. It was difficult.
So I don't even need to like say anything suspicious with bribery and corruption in Colombia and Tim Ballard or anything. I'm like that alone.
I can totally see. And my interpreter told me that we got to get some of this terminology right, because if it's wrong, murderers can go free by just getting the wrong interpretation. And wow. So it sucked because everything I was saying had to go through this guy who didn't know what I was trying to get at, didn't understand the language. And if he was paid off or he had a slant on anything, that could greatly influence things. Yeah. And so it was this language battle the entire time for like 4 hours. I was on the stand. Anyways, so we get through that. And then Kelly and I leave the courthouse. That part of it concludes. And Kelly, I, and the interpreter walk back. And so I'm walking out of that courthouse feeling like really mm-hmm. attacked, very vulnerable, not just by, I mean, just by the whole proceedings. It was not fun. I can't complain though, because my life isn't on the line. Mm-hmm. My freedom isn't on the line, but mm-hmm. Kelly was so excited. She said like, you dug Tim's grave and you shoved him in. Like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. You left him bleeding. Dead, bleeding on the floor. That's mm-hmm. That's her takeaway from the trial. And
Kelly.
And so we walked back to the law offices. That was a stressful time. I'm just waiting for like the entire Colombian country to rise up, come out from their homes with pitchforks and like want to roast me and tar and feather me for my association with Tim Ballard. But that didn't happen because the court proceedings were not live streamed to the public, because there's a minor, anytime there's a minor involved, anybody under 18, the proceedings aren't live streamed to the public. Only those that have, that are part of the case, mm-hmm. defendants, plaintiffs, are allowed to see it, and their lawyers. And apparently Tim Ballard, for whatever reason.
And we have some clips of it that we'll play in the next episode when we go through this case. And then in the future, we will probably have access to even more of those clips so that people can see exactly what you're talking about.
We're trying to get the video from the trial, the video and the transcripts and everything else. But you got to be patient with us because we're working through the Colombian court system, very disorganized as far as, you know, compared to what we're used to, as well as a language barrier, and all of that makes it very difficult to figure out what's going on. But I really wanted to get Kelly's story right from her directly, because we've heard a lot of things and I wanted to verify some stuff. So I set up some cameras in this little foyer, this tiny little space in the law office, while she's listening to the closing arguments. And she's like, I can't now, but maybe you can talk to my mom. So I set all my cameras up. And as soon as I get them set up, she's like, okay, I can talk right now. And so she sits down and I get to talk with her. This is right after I did my testimony.
Ryan has exclusive interview of just right during the closing arguments while you're waiting.
Yeah, the closing
in the
arguments
law
are like going off and on. So I'm in the law.
She's waiting for her fate.
She's waiting for her, but she is feeling really good about everything that's happening. She knows the facts of the case, and she's just excited about her freedom that is about to be declared in very soon. So she sits down with me, and I got to sit down with her for an hour and a half and went through her entire story from start to finish. totally not scripted, just asking her questions, asking her about the video of that was in the documentary and that Tim has as evidence of her being a trafficker. Asked her about the context, because, I mean, you get somebody to say something on camera, but the context of what they're referring to is everything. The context, what led up to that, sure, what's after it. I mean, it can completely change the meaning, completely change the intent of the person, and completely change the outcome. The context is everything. And so I needed to get that context. I wanted to get that context. And I thought, okay, well, this is, I'll get whatever I can right now, get her story, and then I'm going to come back down to Columbia and tell the full story, go to her house and interview her mom at her workplace and the prison and the island and stuff. I'll do that later. She's going to be exonerated. This is going to be the end of that. But I might as well get the interview right now because she said she could sit down with me right now. So I threw up three cameras and some mics and stuff, sat down with her, talked to her. I got to talk to her for the entire story for an hour and a half before she needed to go back in and listen to some more closing arguments. And then her mom sat down, took her place, got to talk to her mom from her mom's perspective, everything that happened, another witness to these events, went back to the hotel and was, okay, I got what I think is important. Let's get the hell out of here ASAP. And so
people are going to want to know when will they'll be able to see that footage of that interview with Kelly.
I have it in multiple places, safe with three different people, because it's so important. I feel like it's probably the most important interview I've ever done. Politicians and everything, but this has very life-changing implications. First off, transcribe everything, get an accurate translation for everything that she said, and then get a voiceover read for that translation to present all of it. But in part two, we're going to play some of it to give you a taste of what we're bringing to the table. It's just because there's this clip that needs to get out there right away to verify some of the stuff that I was able to verify in talking to Kelly directly. So part two is going to be that. Short of that, but we have 2 hours of interview footage that explain the entire story in a context that absolutely destroys everything that Tim claims about this raid and shows that almost all of it is false. Mm-hmm. It's a fabricated fictional story set up for a TV shoot to make him look like a badass American hero for his own ambitions. Okay.
And you couple her interview with the video footage that Tim has said for years and all leading up to this trial that, like, I have the video footage. You just watch it. Just wait till I release this video footage. We have it. Like, it's presented at the trial, and I've seen it. And what he's saying that, like, convicts Kelly of being a child trafficker, of being, like, this monster who drugs and rapes and traffics kids, that he's been saying all these years, it is opposite town.
Yeah, it's not supported.
Any of that. So it's not in the video, and then you hear Kelly's own words.
On what
it's,
was
it's
going
heartbreaking
down.
What Tim has put her through.
Oh, I know. It's
so
absolutely,
go ahead.
It's so tragic. I don't know how another human being could do what he's done.
Yeah. So honestly, we'll break that all down in the next few episodes.
Yeah. It's going to take a long time to go through this and show all of that, but we're going to do it. Okay. I didn't sleep at all that night.
I'm so sorry.
And I obviously this whole time I keep changing my appearance. That's why I don't look anything like I used to. But I was just trying to take every precaution I can. So we get to the airport and I get on the plane and that's a huge relief, but I didn't really feel a relief until I got back home and made it back to Salt Lake City. After I testified, the lawyers advised me that I needed to go on radio silence because, Tim and the prosecutor and everything were actively trying to discredit me wherever they possibly could. And the prosecution was trying to pin my involvement in this case as revenge because I lost money by falling out with Tim. That's one of the questions. She's like, did you lose money from your falling out with Tim? Mm-hmm. And trying to ascribe a profit motive to everything that I was doing. Like, I wish I was making a lot of money doing this podcast. I wish you would help us do that, but that's going to be further from the truth. But anyways, they're looking for an ulterior motive for me coming down and testifying in person. And one of the accusations they could hurl at me is that I'm just simply going down to try and get content for this podcast.
I would love if there was a profit as well.
I know.
My security system costs more than I've earned on this podcast, but go on.
Yeah. I was asked to be quiet, and I had to tell Kara to be quiet, which is so hard. that is like asking her not to breathe. And not to post, not to give updates and everything. I know people in the comments were like, what's happening with this trial? Where are you? What's going on?
I did check with you, and then I took some things down.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, all right, I need to take down the last vlog. So some of you saw those vlogs go down, and they're like, what's happening? Why are all these vlogs going down? And is it because he lied or did something true? No, it's just because what could happen is that judge is the sole judge for the entire case. There was no jury. And so the verdict is going to be issued by this judge, which is a really convenient thing if there's a one choke point that you need to persuade to do something for you. But I can't say that.
And the algorithm,
that
he's on Instagram, and it just starts sending him stuff.
So if Tim and the prosecution are trying to sell him behind the scenes, and I'm not saying this happened because I don't know anything that happened behind the scenes, other than that Tim was there, according to our sources in Cartagena, and he confirmed that ourselves. We had an intelligence person that briefed us that when he arrived.
A psychic or?
No.
Oh, a real intelligence
An actual
person.
Real intelligence person, oh. Yeah. Meanwhile, Tim is on social media just going
ham.
Crazy. Just diarrhea of the mouth going crazy. Right?
And he's also recording podcasts with Last Dispensation and with his buddy Matt Cooper. And they're saying, like, you know, we don't know the verdict yet. The verdict's coming
out
tomorrow.
But this is going to be amazing.
And we have all these pre-recorded podcasts and stuff. And it just, you know, wanting minds want to know, like, did you already know the verdict because of a little...
It looked like it. He was so arrogant and so assured that she was going to be found guilty that, I mean, you look at all the social media posts and everything, that it's so clear. I'm like, why is he so confident in this? Like, that's got to be a huge red flag that raised my eyebrows. Like, why is he so confident that she's going to be found guilty? Because all the evidence that I've shown that she was entrapped, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that I don't know how any sane, logical person could think that this woman deserves to be put away for 20 mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. for showing up to a party that they were paying people to come and attend. Paying them $200 if you just come and attend this party. $400 if you do some sex stuff. Anyways, we're going to get into that. So I came home just absolutely... The more as I flew to Salt Lake, I became more and more like my anxiety went away and I felt relief. And then when I landed in Salt Lake, I realized that, well, underneath all of that stress and anxiety was just anger. I was angry about this entire situation. In part two, where we go into the actual facts of the case. And what really happened, which couldn't be more opposite than what was portrayed in the Sound of Freedom movie, and the sinister, absolutely disgusting motives behind Tim, the man who put this woman, who is seeking to put this woman in prison for his own self-aggrandizement and to maintain his own narrative story.
This concludes our episode. Thank you, Ryan, for testifying mm-hmm. on behalf of what I believe is an absolutely innocent woman and putting yourself out there. So Ryan's the real deal, guys. Give this video a thumbs up. Please head over to our Patreon, Timmy Did What, where you can get more exclusive behind the scenes things, and it really helps support this podcast and all that we're trying to do here.
So that's the update. That's getting you out of the radio silence I put you in. I'm sorry. That's the update, but we got so much more going into the trial moving forward. And thanks for joining us on the Timmy Did.
¿Qué? ¿Cómo? Timothy, maldito bastardo, que te pudras en el infierno.
Podcast.
I don't know what that was.
People who get it will get it. Podcast.
Podcast.